from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Doesn't seem to matter what I do.
This is Ken Barkley of You Better You Bet on Dirt and Spray.
What's the play?
The man who doesn't play when it comes to sports betting.
You know what? I like money. You know what? I don't like jokes.
Ken Barkley is here to stop Dirt and Spray from making questionable decisions.
Are you serious?
Ken Barkley on 1080 The Fan.
It's so good. Nom, 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 nom.
Let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank
well
you.
Well done. Well done.
He needed an open.
He needs an open.
And I, you know, Ken is a unique name. It's not as popular. You don't hear a lot of Kens anymore.
No,
and,
you don't.
You know, there was a huge movie and song created around a Ken doll, and I thought, yeah, it kind of fits.
Kind of fits. Ken Barkley at Locky Lockerson on Twitter. Good morning, Ken. What do you think of your new open?
I do resemble Ryan Gosling in a lot of ways. So I think I'm pretty on board with the old Ken song. That was good. We mixed in all the classics. I have to ask you though, like how many drops total? Because you know, you use like five, like you use the best of the best, right? That's the idea. Whenever you create an open like that, this is the problem with having someone on who does like the same job as we all understand how this works. So you use like the best five. How many total do you have on the board?
So we actually, I actually went through this yesterday. We have made a grave mistake. I feel like given us four more in the last just 2 weeks.
We haven't pulled them.
I know. I've been on fire. I'm great.
And they've not been pulled. So right now on our board, we only have six. So I use like five of the six.
There were five, I think four in the open that I counted at least. We also have this one.
I'm not like a dirty person.
I didn't know where to put that. And then like musically, can I just tell you, you don't care, but I'll tell you anyway. That took me 2 hours to make.
No, it didn't.
100%.
Now I almost feel bad.
So do I.
You better give us some winners, Ken. All right.
Yeah.
Give us some locks. Okay.
I mean, I dropped some gems at whatever the Silicon Valley conference you guys were at last week, whatever that was.
That was
great stuff in there.
That was the highlight of our run with you.
You
want to
know
I'm
a funny
not gonna
thing.
Lie to you, buddy. That was wonderful.
So can you
did people complain to you at like what did people say?
We
like,
got dirty looks. Speaker, you were on speakers and everybody was listening to what you were saying and everybody was there for this big tech, you know, summit or whatever it was, and we got looks.
Con or whatever. Right.
We were getting looks.
The funny thing is, Ken, our Odyssey Sports Twitter account, we had somebody that represents it in here a few months ago, and I said, like, hey, we're not a lot of Portland tweets coming from that account. Like, okay, very duly noted. Still never got any tweets. We finally got an Odyssey Sports tweet, and it was because we were at that event. And we have three local shows, and there were only two photos, and they were not of us being there. And I went,
you sullied the name of the conference.
We did.
So I should say I sullied the name of it. And as a reward, you made me an open. So that's good. Good incentivizer.
We were locked out from the social media pub.
We were.
The open kind of distracted me from my normal random question, so I'm going to then ask it now 3 minutes into the interview. Is there an Olympic event that we could drop Ken Barkley into? We know you're not going to win, but that you just wouldn't totally embarrass yourself. Like, if Ken Barkley had to look halfway decent at an Olympic event in the Summer Olympics, what event would he choose?
Oh, man. I'm sure people have an answer that they think is good, but I bet isn't. Like, I'm sure somebody's like, oh, well, like, I could do, like, the, you know, the 200 meters or something because I can run okay. It'd be like, well, yeah, you'll come in dead last by 8 seconds. Like, yeah. Does that count? Does that count as, like, respectable? Like, because I would just say, like, I'm thinking about the Olympic events. Like, I play golf, but I don't play golf like Scottie Scheffler plays golf. So it's not really the same. But, I mean, I would, like, I would play. I'd finish the round. You know, like, it wouldn't be ridiculous.
Shoot a 92 something, you know?
I guess that's the answer. Whereas, I mean, some of the stuff, it's like, oh, you can do skateboarding. I took a snowboarding lesson one time and broke my wrist in the first hour. And so, like, no, I could not do the skateboarding. Like, that's actually a hard, like, skateboarding is somehow a hard no, and golf is like a yes. Which doesn't make sense because you're like, well, one's a skateboard and one seems way tougher than that. I mean, I play tennis, but like if I played Alcaraz, I mean, honestly, people would probably show up to watch that because it would be so ridiculous.
Like a pros Alcaraz, versus Joes.
Alcaraz would start playing like with his feet or something and just see if he could do it. He would just walk on his hands, like volleying at the net against me. That'd be kind of cool. Like, hey, what does it look like when a huge loser plays the best person in the world? What does it look like when that happens? Yeah, some kind of normal sport. Like, I think people like to pick the track and field ones because they seem basic, but like you practice that thing like 10 million times in order to be able to, like, I did long jump one time in fifth grade and I was like a pudgy fifth grader and I did long jump. And I mean, it would be like if you just like started running and then just like did a normal jump forward, like that's what it would look like. It's like these guys, I mean, it's, you know, they're like defying the laws of gravity. They like don't even land on their backside. They like rotate as they land to get even more distance. And with me, it's just, you know, if you were trying to hop across a puddle, if you were crossing the street or something, that would be my long term. I guess golf and tennis because I play them. But okay. I don't know. What did you guys come up with? What did you?
Well, we kind of did like our safe places. I said the best chance, and I wouldn't be very good like whatsoever. 3-on-3 basketball. Like I grew up playing that. That's basically all I play at this point.
Go
like,
stand in the corner. I'll knock down.
I'll get one right. Three. Hurrying yeah, back to the
Jimmer Fredette.
Yeah,
like you're gonna be like beat Jimmer Fredette off the dribble. Like that's happening.
I mean, probably not.
Yeah. Our producer chose kayaking. He thinks he can land off of a 10-foot drop in kayaking and be okay. Which I don't believe.
Really?
But that's what he claimed.
That looks really dangerous. Like that yes. Stuff is crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. That's exactly what I said.
Kayak, and I'm like, no way.
Yes.
No, not even close.
A 10-foot drop to it terrifies me. And then I chose target shooting because I feel like I'm not winning and I'm not hitting the middle, but could I like nick the corner maybe with a bullet from 30 feet?
Or would it be fun? Be like, well, which one would I just like to try because it seems fun?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, like I'm just standing there shooting a gun. I don't have to do anything really that athletic. Like, I think I can handle that.
Right. Yeah, nailed it. Right.
The problem with that answer, though, Ken, is he doesn't own a gun.
No.
So,
no,
I don't know why he would choose
shooting. So the recoil would, like, hit him in the face. Yeah. And they show it, like, Mike Tirico would lead the nightly coverage with it. Be like, tonight, from Paris, this loser hits himself in the face in the shooting event. And be like, a dark day for America.
Yeah,
on a Wednesday night.
R.I.P. to one of our athletes. Yeah.
We gave you credit earlier in the show, Ken, because we get excited for Thursdays. I genuinely, we enjoy having you on to just not only pick your brain. You gave us the first half over in the Hall of Fame game, but we gave you credit earlier because last year you told us something that we didn't really consider, and it was a sneaky good point of, you know, there is something to getting preseason action here, and like some of these teams have absolute rust. It was announced this morning that Buffalo is going to play Josh Allen in the offense an entire quarter. I think Andy Reid said something very similar of the Chiefs. We know Caleb Williams is going to make his debut on Saturday. Jaden Daniels is going to make his debut. Bryce Young, as awful as he was, nope, he doesn't need to play in the preseason. And just kind of how you're evaluating this now that I think maybe it's gone the other way. Maybe we see more teams give their starters a little more seasoning, even if it's just one game in the preseason, than absolutely zero in the preseason.
Yeah, it's been an ongoing discussion with the teams. Like, forget even what I think about it. You just listen to what they say in the press conferences after week one. Last year, it was a big discussion. We spent a bunch of time on this on our show because if you go back, like, the short preseason has only been around for a couple of years. So you don't, you know, they used to play, whatever, four games or five games. Now they play one fewer. And so there's even less time for your starters to play. And a lot of teams took the approach of, well, we're just not going to play the quarterback. Like it's three games. We don't care. He's not playing. And so each of the last 2 years, you've seen more than a quarter of the starting quarterbacks just not play. I think it was like 9 last year, maybe, or 8. And it was about the same the year before, except something really remarkable that happened was a couple of years ago, I think it was, you had two games where week one of the regular season, where two teams had quarterbacks that hadn't played at all in the preseason. They were like coming in cold and they were facing each other. Both those games went under. And then, as in, there was not a lot of scoring, which I think makes sense to people. And then you had a bunch of quarterbacks who didn't play in the preseason face quarterbacks who did. So one kind of was rustier than the other, if you want to look at it. And basically all the quarterbacks that didn't play, almost all of them didn't cover, and they all played worse than they normally do. So then we go into last year, and it's like, well, okay, that's kind of weird. And you didn't have the, like, 100% type thing that you had the year before. But, I mean, even teams that won, like the Eagles beat the Patriots in week one last year in a very rock fight, low-scoring, clunky kind of a game, a lot of field goals. And Jalen Hurts, even after the game, was like, I didn't play in the preseason. Like, I sucked. Like, it was, like, because that happened. And so it's going to be really funny this year. Like, teams definitely have to know this on some level. So it's what's the right amount to play your guys to at least get them, like, some game action. So the first quarter isn't a preseason game when you get to the regular season. Like, the first quarter of week one, you know, becomes a preseason game in that, but you're trying to get the rust out and everything. So we know Rodgers isn't going to play the entire preseason. It also seems really likely Justin Herbert isn't going to play in the preseason because he's hurt right now. There are a few other quarterbacks where it's like, we think we're not going to see them. Lamar Jackson almost never plays in the preseason. So that would be another one. It's kind of funny to track this stuff now. And it's almost a relief if you like a team this year, especially if you like them in week one, you want to see them. Like, can we at least get like a couple drives in here? Can we at least get some action? Kirk Cousins, I think, isn't going to play in the preseason. They play the Steelers in week one. And you know the Steelers quarterbacks are going to get a ton, if it's Fields especially. Yeah. I mean, he's going to play every game because Russell Wilson's hurt right now. So it's been an interesting dynamic to follow. And I would encourage people to definitely keep track of just like who's a no-show. And maybe just in week one, maybe they're kind of a bad idea, fantasy, DFS, everything else.
Yeah, and on an underrated note of that, too, is we always launch our survivor pools. And so that's another one to keep an eye on if a team played or didn't play, guys. Because week one is so random, and you get those weird losses where you're like, how did that team lose to that team? But this could be a big part of it. I'm curious, Ken, you were so big on Michigan last year, and they cheated their way to a national championship. Are you diving into college football? Like, are you there with college football yet? Are you diving into futures? Are you diving into conference stuff? Like, I see a lot of takes thrown out. There's odds out on, you know, who's going to make the 12-team playoff. Like, a lot of that stuff is at the forefront of minds. Are you in there? Are you there with college football yet?
And can I piggyback on that and let you answer? But also, like, if they vacate, I think, do you send me salmon?
Oh, does he have vacate? We get the salmon back? We get a salmon. Yeah, what do we think? If
If they vacate, I vacate this interview. You That's what'll happen. So, you can try to get the basket back.
It's just over, yeah. Well, he knows where you live, so he's just going to show up and grab the basket. Leave it on the porch.
Right. Yeah, I'll put a sign out on my front porch. Go away. As you try to do men stuff. Stop calling. No one's here. New phone. Who dis? What are we? The college football? Oh yeah. So,
yeah. Are you diving in yet? Are you there?
Yeah. So I am. But so here's, like, this is actually a really, really big nuisance for me this season. So think about it. Like, my whole thing is, I try to figure out who's going to win the title, like, before the year, during the year, during the playoffs. Like, that's my whole deal. And I think I'm really good at it. I think it's, of all the things that I'm good at in betting, I think this is one of the things that I'm the best at. And, you know, we came on, we did the Panthers before, right? That's like one of those things. Michigan, we did one of those things. The problem now is when you change all the rules about who gets to make it and how the format of the playoffs works and all this stuff, and there are buys now and campuses are going to host playoff games. That's never happened before. When you change all the rules, it's like, all right, well, I can't be confident in anything that I think going into that. We've never seen this playoff. And what I mean is, if you expand the playoff and you have buys and you have home sites and all this stuff, I don't know what a champion is going to be. Are we going to get random winners more now? I don't know. I don't think so, but it's possible. A team could get hot. You have to win more games. There's more likelihood of a good team sustaining an injury. That's definitely true.
Yeah.
With Georgia or Ohio State or one of the top teams, like, they got to play more games to get to the end. You risk the possibility of, you know, kind of like how the NFL playoffs work, honestly. So I still think you're going to get a really good winner a lot of the time. But I think in the 4-team playoff, the old way, which we had for 8 years, 10 years, whatever it was, you were like, it was the best team and it was really easily identifiable. And they only had to play 2 games and they were neutral sites. And you had a month before the first game. So it was like so stable. You could just lock in on one team that you really liked or 2 teams that you really liked. That was going to be the winner, like, almost every single year. I don't know if this is going to be like that. It might be, but I'm kind of really, this is the sport this year that I'll be the most cautious with. because we've changed. It would be like, hey, the NCAA tournament in March, now it's 300 teams and you play a best of five. It's like, well, what? Well, like, I can't use the same stuff anymore. Right. Like, I can't, like, it's going to be totally different. So, look, consensus, everyone thinks Georgia's the best team. I'm sure everyone's right. But does that matter as much as it used to? Last year, it probably would have mattered more. Maybe Georgia was a much more likely winner. Now, with all the rules and the conferences realigning, the schedules are going to be brutal for some of these teams. More likelihood of injury, more likelihood of losses. Could get crazy. So maybe it's big prices, teams to make the playoff. I think when teams lose early in the season, a good strategy would be to buy them, because in college football, usually you lose early, it's over. And in this season, I think you're going to have like four lost teams make it, and three lost, because it's like they're playing an NFL schedule now, and a 9-3 team could really be the best team in the country. That's totally possible. So they're going to be buy points for teams where maybe those didn't exist before. So just a few thoughts as we go in.
You said last time that you had struggled to identify that team in the NFL. I think I know where you're at, having listened to a few of your shows this week already. I'm leaning Green Bay, but there's still a lot of time to make decisions on that kind of stuff. I'm curious how Hard Knocks impacts your feelings towards everybody jumping on Chicago, and is there like wiggle room to be the opposite? And then also IU can San Francisco, if they are to lose him, and it feels like they're going to, how massive that is with the Niners' futures.
Yeah, so we kind of knock these out really quickly. The Bears stuff, look, they're almost certainly going to be better. I mean, they have to be better than the last couple of years, like by rule. They have to be better than the last couple of years, definitely better than last year. But how much better? Market expects playoffs as like the last seed and 9 wins, something like that. And I think when you have a rookie quarterback and you have, a pretty proven terrible coach, this guy's coached for a while, Eberflus, he hasn't been very good basically ever. And the idea that he's just going to show up now with a big team is kind of facts, not in evidence. So rookie quarterback, that coach, playoffs doesn't really seem like a 3-point thing that makes any sense. So I don't like them to make. I bet them to miss. I do think 8-9 wins is like totally achievable, though. So it's not that they're going to be number one pick again or something like that. But just the idea, I think miss is way more likely than make. And they're just, I think it's probably they miss the playoffs, they fire him, and then they get a pretty good coach. And then next year it's like sky's the limit, because you have guys second year quarterback leap, first year coach, ton of talent. I mean, that team could challenge, you know, Green Bay or Detroit maybe in a couple of years, but it's not going to be this year probably. Ayuk, yeah, I mean, if he leaves, it's a big deal. He's awesome. Passing offense is a really, really strong predictor of how many games you win. And if Brandon Ayuk is not on a team, their passing offense is going to be worse. It's just going to be, especially if they replace him with nothing or with, you know, Kendrick Bourne or something like that, even though I know that trade's not going to happen. So it matters. They're going to win fewer games if he's not on the team. Depending on the team he goes to, maybe that team wins more games, but that team might stink. You don't know. If it's the Steelers, they never throw the ball with Arthur Smith. So, like, maybe he helps a lot, but I think it's more that it just hurts the Niners a lot. Team to win the Super Bowl, the most likely, like, just probability, the most likely team to win is Kansas City. Like, I'll freely admit that. They are the most likely team to win, but I might not even give them a really high chance. I think it's really spread out among a lot of different teams, and I think what you're alluding to is that on our show, I think there's a really good chance the Jets are better than people think, and that because of all the extra off-the-field stuff, it's kind of clouding the idea that team was basically the best defensive team in the league last year. It was Cleveland or them. And the offense was a disaster because the guy who's supposed to kind of run it all didn't play at all. And now he's going to play hypothetically every game. That offense with the number one, number two defense should mean they're very good. It just should mean that. And I don't think that's a crazy opinion. And it's still met with like a lot of derision from a lot of people because Aaron Rodgers is a lightning rod, right? We have vaccine jokes and he's like yelling at Garrett Wilson and his political takes and ayahuasca and whatever. Like, I don't care. Like, it started Tim Boyle in games last year. Like, come on. Number one defense and Rodgers. Like, can everyone at least understand like how you could get to that opinion that they would be really good? So just don't be surprised if they're actually like one seed good. They don't have to be. It can fall apart again. But I think that is in kind of their ceiling. And I don't think a lot of teams have that same ceiling.
It is funny. I mean, they won 7 games last year with a MILF hunter at quarterback in half their season. I mean, seven.
Tim Boyle started a lot of those games.
They won 7 games last year. It's not. It doesn't make any sense. You think back to how bad the Jets, you know, in your memory of how bad they looked, it's like they had to have been a 4 or 5 win team. You're like, they were almost 500 last year in a kind of tough division where Miami was 11-6 and Buffalo was 11-6. At Locky Lockers on Twitter, you better you bet. Catch it out or check it out. Any locks tonight for Thursday night preseason? You gave us a winner. You're 1-0 in preseason football. Do you got any final closing locks for tonight?
Oh man, I like stuff tomorrow.
Okay, I'll take a tomorrow lock.
Whenever the Texans play, I like them if it's still less than three. I like the Dolphins plus 2.5 if that's still the number.
Okay.
I think those are tomorrow and Saturday. Tonight's really tough. I don't know how – this is one of those things where, like, then it's going to happen. I don't know how the Patriots don't win by 900 the way the quarterback depth charts are in this game. The Panthers are playing, like, quarterbacks I've never heard of the whole time. Because Young's not playing and Dalton's hurt.
Right.
So, like, it's you're literally already on, like, the college guy who has upside to start the game. Like, that's what you've got. And the Patriots, it's like Brissett for a while, Drake May for a while, like Bailey Zappi, who started like 15 games. Like, they're all playing. So if you wonder why the Patriots are favored by so much, that's why. And I just, every time I look at it, I just go, like, how the hell are the Panthers doing anything? And they don't even care about the game. They're not playing Bryce Young.
Right.
Like, they've signaled their intention
right.
by not playing him. So this is one of those where it's just like, the market knows that. Like, please don't bet the Patriots for that reason. But every time I look at it, I just go, yeah, they're gonna win by like 20. Like, is that really gonna happen? So I'm not betting it. Like, Mark, they're a huge favorite for a good reason. But every time I stare at that game, I'm just like, I don't know how the Panthers are gonna be competitive. I can't wait to see how it happens.
There you go. Some good locks to close it up. Thanks as always, Ken. We'll catch up again next Thursday.
Sounds good. Love the open. Great
there
work.
There you go. There you go. Great work. Good job, everybody.
Thank
good
you.
Job, Ken Barkley.
Teamwork.
New open.
Teamwork.
Teamwork. Not really. Sprague work and great open. Good job and some locks going into your weekend of preseason football. Always love talking to Ken. He's appreciative of the open and he deserves it because he's one of our favorites every Thursday at 8:00. Let's get in a little bit of that tonight. The disappointment and also what is going to happen. We'll get to that next on the Fam.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Well, we got NFL football back in our lives tonight. I'm questioning why one game's on TV and the other one's not. I think they probably thought that a certain player was playing, and He ain't playing.
He ain't playing.
The game that's on TV tonight is Panthers and Pats, and I don't care what Ken said. He said he's not betting it. I'm betting it. I'm following his logic.
Fading
here.
The hell out of those Panthers.
6.5 is the line. I'm going to check out and see what it is on DraftKings.
Well, if his quarterback note is correct, I haven't looked at it.
Win by a touchdown? That's all I need? Less than a touchdown line?
Well, two of the three quarterbacks are starters. Because yes. Zappe started a ton. Brissett started for years.
So I'm saying.
And May, I don't know what May will be, but maybe May won't be the worst quarterback showing in rookie history. So
yeah, 6.5 right now. Yeah. You got 6.5. The game that's on TV is that Panthers and Pats game. It's on at 4 on the NFL Network. I would argue Lions and Giants should be the one that's on TV. Now, I'm not sure exactly who's all in and who's all out, but have we been paying attention to Malik Nabers and Daniel Jones biting kneecaps all week?
They've had
joint practices all week, and they have gotten into like a brawl every single day.
On the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
Daniel Jones has also talked about how, I don't care if I'm wearing a red jersey, I'll get in there.
I actually did talk to Daniel Jones. Like,
okay. Get out of here.
The Daniel Jones thing actually pissed me off as a red jersey guy. Like, you can't start a fight.
Well, I feel like
if you're wearing a red jersey, you cannot start a fight.
Well, if you get in there, if you get involved in the fight and you're wearing the red jersey, I haven't been able to hit you all day.
I'm hitting you.
I'm blindsiding you.
Yeah.
Now, am I going to get suspended and probably fined for that? Yeah, probably. But don't get involved in the fight.
No. Quarterbacks run from fights. That's what they do. As soon as an altercation breaks out, you run the other direction because you don't want to get hurt. Get the hell out of there, Daniel Jones.
I know this is not where you were going with the segment. Preseason, rah-rah-rah.
No, I got another random NFL note I want to throw at you.
Do you know who you're going to pick for your Super Bowl champ? Because I know we did this already, the post-Super Bowl pick, but I think I'm already flipping my...
You're already flipping? Are we flipping and sticking again?
A little bit.
Let me see. I'm going to pull up.
I'm leaning far more Green Bay than sticking with my Rams pick.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm not winning. I think I have the Chiefs winning because I'm
tired. I do not have our... Well, I wasn't here, so I don't have our post-Super Bowl picks.
No, that's right.
I was not in attendance. I was on leave.
That's right.
It was like a week after Teddy Ballgame was born,
Maybe
man.
Maybe we redo it then. We act like it didn't happen the first time. We redo it.
I think we do what we did in baseball this year where we make our preseason picks, and then we do a halfway through the year flip it or stick it, and gives you the ability to flip your pick or stick with your pick, and then we'll label it a flip or a stick.
Careful there.
Flip it or stick it.
Careful there.
I'm going to throw a random football note at you because this just came across my wire, and I'm going squirrel.
Okay.
There's a player who has announced his retirement from the NFL.
I saw this. Saw the video during Ken's interview.
And I just want to know, where does this rank of the most random, outrageous Super Bowl outcomes of all time?
It's certainly up there.
Nick Foles has retired from the NFL.
11-year career.
Nick and his big D are going, they're hanging him up. They're done.
Yeah.
Nick Foles outplaying Tom Brady in a Super Bowl and beating the New England Patriots as a backup quarterback has to be top five most outrageous outcomes in that game ever, right?
It's certainly in the... I mean, I think Brady is actually also in this too.
Sure, in his first win, yes. The greatest show on turf.
Yeah, because...
It's Nick Foles.
I just didn't think they would beat the Patriots. I knew they were a good team, but yeah, to your point, it's Nick Foles.
His whole career was not great. He had one year where he's like 27-2, touchdown to pick ratio with Chip. Outside of that, he was not good at all. And Wentz got hurt late in the year that year. It wasn't like he had an entire year. He'd started the last like three games of the regular season. They eked out wins in the playoffs and then just played out of their mind against Tom Brady and the Pats.
And you know what? His play, because of that Super Bowl, ruined Carson Wentz's entire career.
He ruined an entire career.
Because there's a statue of him.
Yes.
Like, they gave the guy a statue for winning the Super Bowl. I know they've largely only had a Rocky statue in their sports lives. Right. That was why they gave him one.
They gave him to fake boxers and backup quarterbacks, man.
He threw some darts in that game, too. He was pretty damn good in that Super Bowl.
I'm going to go pull up a stat line from that game.
Remember that touchdown to the running back in the back of the end zone? Like, he put it exactly where you needed to put it. It's a weird career. He was a good college quarterback at Arizona. A great one. 11 years and a Super Bowl. Maybe we'll look it up who the MVP of that game was. Maybe it was him.
I think he was the MVP.
I mean, a Super Bowl MVP, an 11-year career, statue in one of the most hostile, passionate sports cities in sports. Yeah, man. Like, kudos to Nick Foles on a great career and one of, absolutely in your point, the weirder Super Bowl champions of all time.
He was the Super Bowl MVP.
There you go.
So I Googled that. His numbers in that game, in the Super Bowl, 28-43, 373 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Mm.
So he threw for 352 and 3 touchdowns.
He was unstoppable.
Remember, they beat the Vikings 38-7 in the NFC title game.
That was also the double doink
game. Like, they should have lost to the Bears.
No, that was the next year.
Oh, okay, he went
and won the first playoff game in the double doink. He was going on another run, and they damn near beat the Saints in the divisional round. Not for, like, a deflected interception, he would have gone to another NFC title game the next year.
And then nobody wanted to play Nick Foles if he got to a title
Big
game.
Big D Nick, no, you got to get out of his way. Only two quarterbacks ever beat Tom Brady in a Super Bowl. Eli Manning.
Who's going to be on the Hall of Fame ballot?
He's going to be on the
first ballot guy?
He's going to go in. He's a Manning. He's got two rings.
He's not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Numbers don't back it up, but
he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And then Nick Foles, the only two to ever do it. So a random NFL note for you. The preseason continues tonight. I'm going to lock in a bet on the Pats, -6.5. And I wish that the Lions and the Giants were on. Is Malik Nabers playing tonight? Do we know that? Is he in the lineup?
I haven't checked to see who's playing or not playing.
I'm curious to see who's all in the lineup for those two teams because they've had an eventful week of practice. Let's have some fun with audio on your Thursday and one guy not recognized at his own ballpark. We'll get to that fun with audio next. Well, your baseball team's struggling right now, Sprager.
We suck. We've given up.
Braves are sinking like a stone.
Thought they were getting out of it, and then they just lost back-to-back series. They've just been bludgeoned.
Four in a row, I think. Dropped four in a row.
Yeah, but that's following a six-game losing streak that was snapped very briefly. But, yeah, we were terrible.
Things are not going good.
Fade the Bravos.
But what you got going for you is some legendary players, and they, from time to time, bring them all into the booth to have a big, like, jumbo broadcast.
Love to bring Chip on. We love to have Johnny Smoltz come back.
How do you not?
Yeah.
So you bring all the classics back from the 90s Braves. And this Smoltz was on the call yesterday. The Bally Sports South is the network down there. He was on the call. He's in the booth. So they had a little four-man booth going. Chipper Jones was in there as well. And Smoltz told a story about showing up. He is John Smoltz. It is Atlanta.
Pretty recognizable dude.
He calls national games on Fox. He is the lead analyst of Major League Baseball on Fox.
He only pitched there for, what, 17
Long
years?
Long time. He shows up.
Starter and a closer.
Shows up in Atlanta, and this happened to him.
Well, there was an open spot. I parked where it was open, and I was on the phone talking. Imagine that. And I was waiting for Frenchie, you know? I was waiting for him to come so we could walk in together. And one of the valet guys came to the window. I rolled it down. I said, can I park here? Or do you want me to move the cone? And he goes, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm calling the game. He goes, are you an umpire? I'm like, I thought, all right, right away I looked for cameras because I know, you know.
You're getting punked.
I guarantee it this is what's happening. And then I realized he straight-faced me and has no idea who I am. As I said, no, I'm...
How old was he?
Well, this is what I said next. I said, I'm broadcasting the game. And he looked at me like, well... I said, you must be very young.
My picture's on the side of the stadium. My number's retired in the rafters.
So my
favorite part of you telling that story is where you're like, I'm sure he's a nice kid.
I'm sure he's a nice kid.
John Smoltz not recognized trying to park his car in Atlanta.
Chipper Jones giving it to him there.
What is the equivalent? Like, who's the blazer for us where we go, wow, that guy wasn't recognized, huh? I mean, about a young guy working a parking valet job.
I wonder who, maybe when Clyde was here?
Maybe Damon. I think it's more the late 90s.
Oh, Damon Stoudemire?
Because that's mid to late 90s Bravo. I know he was there early, but...
Yeah, he was there early. When was his last year in Atlanta was 2008. Was his last year in Atlanta.
Holy crap.
He was in Atlanta.
Didn't he pitch game 7 against the Twinkies too?
Yes, he did. 1988. He was there for 20 years.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
From his age 21 season to his age 41 season. So, yeah, you can almost go Clyde and. Both of those eras?
Right.
I think the equivalent of like Rasheed Wallace showing up to him getting invited to a Blazer game and some usher or somebody who's like 22 years old, you know, orchestrating the traffic looking. At him saying, I have no clue who you are. I don't know who you are. Because that was now, what, 16 years ago. So if you're
true.
25 or under, you have no memory hardly at all.
You've heard
John
of him,
Smoltz.
But you don't know what he
you
looks
should
like.
Should know
probably.
The name, yeah. But you're not going to recognize him.
He's still there broadcasting
like
games. So it's like he's in the building quite frequently.
Now, he doesn't do every game, but he shows up from time to time and does special broadcasts.
Spot fill-ins and stuff. Yeah.
I love the immediate pushback, too, of questioning your ego of like, like, you don't know who I am?
Well, I don't think he gets that way, but it does have to throw him off at Atlanta.
Dude, I'm John Smoltz.
Yeah, I mean, like, of all places to kind of have that.
I know who I am.
I think it's the home venue that you played for 20 years.
If he rolled into Colorado as, you know, doing the Fox game or whatever,
it makes a little more sense.
See that happening.
Makes a little more sense. Do we have the other audio ready to go?
I'm waiting for it to upload. Okay. I've
you know, this, as we wait for that audio to upload,
yeah.
Like Jay Buhner rolling up in Safeco.
Jay Buhner, yeah.
Hey, who are you? Like, I don't think Jay Buhner's egomaniac, but I think he'd even be like, wait, you don't know who I am?
You don't know who I am?
Because again, like, time and place. If you're in your home venue you played for 20 damn years, how do you, no offense, but how do you not know who I am?
You guys pro John Smoltz? As a broadcaster,
I can understand the argument. He came on very strong, and people really loved him at the start of it.
The start was very strong.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's hard to keep up, is it not? Advanced analytics, the game does evolve. He's been far and
He gives
removed.
Me the Romo vibes from time to time, where it's just, I'm questioning. He's definitely plugged in on the Braves, and I think he follows them closely. But I also think from time to time when I hear him call a national game, I'm like, did you play golf the last 3 days?
Yeah, probably.
Which I'm not upset at him for doing
senior
that.
Tour,
I
baby.
Want to do the same thing, but
I feel like he's in a 3-man booth a lot, which is just that's
gets crowded.
Hard.
It gets crowded for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
It's up there at the top.
If you got your kids in the back seat,
no, you stop.
Might want some earmuffs
stop.
Here.
You stop it.
This is the Jack Carlson. Is that who we're playing?
Who Jack is Jack Carlson?
Yeah. So who is Jack Carlson? Good question there, Swag. Stop with the pre-warning. You play Turtle Orgasms and you think that's appropriate. Jack Carlson went
that's
famous.
That's just noises from nature.
Sure, that doesn't sound like a human being at all. No. Being awkward.
No.
What's Jack Carlson.
To mommy right now?
Famously arrested in Brisbane.
Okay.
Brisbane,
thank you. And in 2009, his arrest went very viral on YouTube. So this is an older YouTube clip.
I've never seen this before.
Okay, this is iconic if you've seen it because it's hilarious. It is the funniest arrest ever in human history. He passed away today at 82.
Ah, so that's why this is circulating again.
He claims mistaken identity for stolen credit card. That's why he was arrested at a Chinese restaurant, and he really hams it up for the camera, which is why it's so iconic. He passed away today. I thought it'd be funny. Here was part of his arrest.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest. Have a look at the headlock here. See that chap over there? Get your hand off my penis! This is the bloke who got me on the penis before.
Get some cups.
Why did you do this?
Get some cups.
For what reason? What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal? Oh, that's a nice headlock, sir.
Oh,
yes. I see that you know your judo well. Good one. And you, sir, are you waiting to receive my limp penis? Now, get your hands off me. Ta-ta and farewell.
And he's put in the car. He is literally fighting like four officers trying to arrest him.
Why
to
is there
do this
so much media for this arrest, for like a random credit card arrest? They just happened to be there?
I think there was a credit card thing going on rampant. They caught wind of it. They show up.
Was he like a politician? Was he a...
Did he do anything famous?
I've looked into it and I don't have all of the backstory, but he was somewhat
Get
known.
Get your hand off Mark.
And he was promised he would be given time to talk when he was arrested at the Chinese restaurant. They wanted to handcuff him, book him, and he was going to take time, and he had a Shakespearean-like performance, which I will say, mate, it's the greatest arrest in internet history, and I know he passed away today. He
became R.I.P.
quite famous after. His family says he was a great dude, and so just iconic audio there of being arrested.
R.I.P., man.
And I love the judo line. You know your judo
well. You know your
well.
Judo well. Just the accent. It's so perfect.
It's
man.
So perfect.
Well, keep your hands off our units. Don't arrest anybody. And
that's John Smoltz.
R.I.P. Yeah. And John Smoltz. There you go. Fun with audio segment. Let's send you on your way on a Thursday. We'll wrap it up next on The Fam. Well, a reminder that it's coming back this morning on the Dan Le Batard Show. They had the world premiere of the new Round Ball Rock by John Tesh. A little more electric guitar. Kind of a different twang to it, but similar, obviously, same tune.
Excuse me, sir.
A new twist to it.
Get your hand off my round ball rock. They've been playing it for the Olympic basketball games.
Have they really? God, the new one or the old one?
You are really not watching.
The old one or the new one? No, I'm not
the original.
It. It's the original. One. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We got a new one in. That's what I'm saying.
It's more electric.
He's got
guitars.
A new twist. Yeah, he's got a new twist.
Right. I think I like the old one a little more, but I get
nostalgia.
It. Jam out.
Nostalgia plays.
I'm just all about it being back, having that feeling on the weekend where knowing it's a primetime game.
I didn't know they've been playing for the Olympics.
It's on
yeah,
NBC.
Fox used it for their college hoops.
Well, I know
and
that.
So they're
also,
using it. Oh, no, that's right. We're back on NBC.
He's watching a lot of college hoops over here, you know?
Yeah, he's
checking
watching,
a lot of St. John's and Rutgers.
He's not watching the Olympics. It's okay. It's all right. There's no judgments there.
I got a Giants game at 9 a.m. today, man. I got an early Giants game today. Getaway day in D.C.
You're
trying to get above 500. Here we come.
You're a weird Giants fan.
The
minute they lose two, you're out.
In the league.
Only three games out of the wild card.
The Padres and Diamondbacks have the two best records since the All-Star break.
Don't worry, we'll help you out there. We'll get you that final wild card spot.
Yeah, well, you're going to help us out a little bit.
I'm quitting on my team.
You're done. I mean, I've been there three times already this year. I've already quit on my team multiple times.
They might make the wild. Yeah. I've seen this team play enough. They're not winning a World Series.
How's it feel to flush $1 billion down the toilet again?
Well, it depends.
Can we
if Mookie's healthy, it's all on Mookie. Mookie's our hope to solidify things when he comes back.
Because you're pitching so good,
Well, we're just going to have to slug our way out of it.
Ooh, hot take coming in. Round Ball Rock is the most overrated theme ever.
Ask that person. Okay, I'll ask the person.
He said 1980 CBS NBA theme is the king.
Ooh, I'd have to hear it and remember it.
Before my time.
Make a stance there. So if that's the king, what would be second then if that's the king?
I think Round Ball Rock is the king. Although some of the college football
songs.
See,
I think it's Fox's NFL.
I think the original Monday Night Football theme is still.
With the singing?
No, the original. Not Hank Williams Jr.
Not all my rowdy friends are coming over tonight.
Look, problematic dude. Definitely had
wonderful
a jam.
Wonderful song. Unbelievable
definitely
song.
Definitely had a jam.
I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the CBS music, college football CBS music.
Well, that's going to be weird with the Big Ten now because I'm always going to incorporate that in my mind with the SEC.
It's like getting Round Ball Rock for Big East basketball on FS1. It doesn't fit.
Decisions, reasons I would have been bad as a conference commissioner, 100 reasons why. One of them would be I would be making decisions based on music. No, we can't lose the theme. We got to stay on CBS.
You could give us another $1 billion. It doesn't matter. That CBS theme song. Or how much does it take to buy the theme song and take it with you to ESPN or ABC? Because then I'd want to throw that in. Let's use some of this extra money we're getting. We're going to buy that song, take it to ABC.
See, I love the NBC Round Ball Rock theme, but I really think I've decided that Fox's NFL stuff is and then a little robot playing football. Oh, come on.
I know, it's good.
Come on.
Welcome in.
I mean, so good.
Damn, it's so good. I can smell the bacon and eggs.
Do we need to do that tomorrow? Mount Rushmore of intro songs for sporting events? Because that's definitely in my Mount Rushmore.
Is the old CBS basketball one in the system? I'm curious now. I've probably heard it.
What is that from the 80s? Do you remember it off the top of your head? Can you hum it for us?
Yeah, give us a little preview.
I'm trying to
remember
the old
Give us a tune.
Here, let me see if I can play it off of...
play it off your computer.
CBS.
Without a YouTube ad, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's before my time, so I don't know what it is.
Here we go. All right. This plays.
This is going to be great audio. Oh, come on. It's 280s.
I mean, that's pretty good, though.
That's not bad. I mean, I'm going to say it's terrible, but that's...
It sounds old because it's
not
YouTube.
Better than Round Ball Rock. I mean, everybody's to each their own. I'm not taking that over Round Ball Rock.
Is that a violation to play a YouTube on a YouTube show?
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I don't know how any of that works anymore.
You doubled up on audio right there.
Yeah, I did double up.
Well...
God, that Fox theme just got me jacked out of my mind.
And guess what? You can watch NFL football tonight.
It's never the same with preseason.
No. 4 o'clock NFL Network, Panthers and Pats. I am gambling on the Pats tonight. -6.
My guess is they'll play as soon as that game's over, they'll go back and play the Lions-Giants game probably like 7:30 or something.
Yeah, you get the replay of it. That's a good call. They do that a lot in preseason. That will do it for us, folks. We had Ken Barkley on today. We also went to Kansas for the Daily Ticker. They're number 22 in the Dirty Poll. Tomorrow, number 21 in the Dirty Poll. We go to Baton Rouge.
Somebody wants us to splice the Shakespearean, get your hand off of my, and then add a parlay as a drop with spraying line.
We could do that.
So find us a parlay.
Get your hands off my parlay. I like that. We could play that. That will do it for us, folks. Thanks so much for being a part of our Thursday. If you missed the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Turton Sprague and at 1080thefan. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Make sure you like the video. It's going to close down in a second. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. Great content there all day long. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan. All right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.